Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello and welcome to the Project Zion podcast. I'm your host, Carla Long, and today you're listening to What's Brewing, a series where we talk about mission opportunities all over the church. And we are here with a dear and wonderful friend of mine, Joelle White. Hi, Joelle.
Hi, Carla.
It's so good to have you here. I'm super excited to talk to you about all of the things we're going to talk about today. I'm trying to be intentionally vague so that, you know, people will continue to listen. So before we jump into what we're talking about, Joelle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks so much. And I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to be chatting with you. As you said, my name is Joelle White. I live in Washington, D.C. with my adorable 6-pound Maltipoo, Winifred. And I am the invitation minister for the Chesapeake Bay Mission Center and the 70 in Community of Christ.
Oh, man. When I think about you in D.C., I mean, I just want to see it for myself. I mean, Joelle, you're originally from Blue Springs, Missouri, right? So not like a big city girl necessarily, but now, Joelle, you're taking on the big city of D.C. How do you like living there?
I love it. I was actually really worried when I moved here because I am not a city girl. Anytime I've lived anywhere else, I've intentionally chosen small towns, and I didn't realize just how in the city I would be. And so I got really nervous when I was here. But this is a great city. It's a wonderful city to live in. And I really, really love it.
I love hearing that. That's super cool. And someday I hope to visit you in DC.
You're welcome anytime.
Yes. Oh, are you saying that to all the listeners?
Oh yeah. We got plenty of room.
So Joelle, you've been a 70 for about 3 years now. Is that right? So what does it mean to you to be a 70?
I think that there are a lot of assumptions made about 70 in Community of Christ, and some of them rightfully so, and they're applicable to like a majority of 70s. But honestly, I think being a 70 can mean different things in different ministry contexts. So I'm going to kind of speak in a general sense here rather than more of the specifics of being a 70. 70s are forerunners of Christ's peace. To me, that means that we are called to be peacemakers and more specifically to be the initial peacemakers in situations where peace is not currently a priority. We're called to infuse current situations with the peace and justice principles found in the Gospels in ways that inspire transformation and invoke response from individuals and from groups. But in addition to being forerunners of Christ's peace, we're also called to be ministers of invitation, called to draw the circle wide and then draw it wider still. We meet people wherever they are and invite them into community that honors their inherent worth. This also means that we have to prepare the communities of which we are a part to be truly welcoming. Sometimes we have to identify and address certain aspects of our communities that are not upholding this welcome.
Whew, that's a lot. That's a lot under the 70 umbrella. So which part of that for you gets you the most excited? Like, what do you enjoy the most about being a 70?
Gosh, that's a tough question. I think that there are different elements of both of those things that I really enjoy. I'm really passionate about peace and justice. I believe that if you want justice, you have to work for peace. And so I love that 70s are really called to be at the forefront of that and to try to find ways to pursue peace in the margins. At the same time, I really love the idea of invitation. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I'm standing at the front of the church doors, inviting people walking on the street into the building. But I believe that everyone needs to feel like they have a place and needs to know how valued they are. And so I think invitation is so important in so many different aspects of our lives. And I think that we should always be looking for ways to be more inclusive. And I think being a 70 really gives me opportunity to do that.
You know, I feel like, I don't know if this is true for you, but it's true for me. Like when I am living my life in this intentional way, like if I were a 70, I'm not, but sometimes I consider myself a missionary or as a bishop and a missionary. When I'm living my life in those intentional ways, like those opportunities truly come up like literally every day of your life. Like if you are living in that intentional way, then you can truly be a forerunner of Christ's peace. Because when you talk, when you say the words a forerunner of Christ's peace, that sounds really serious and like something that I'm like, oh, I'm not that. But you kind of are if you're living your life in that way.
Yeah, definitely. It's the small things that add up to the big things.
So I don't know how you're going to answer this next question because I've been thinking about it for a while. And so it's 2022 right now, 2022. What should it look like? Like what is like the everyday, maybe what's the everyday thing stuff that a 70 should be doing in 2022? What does that mean in 2022?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I don't really know how I'm going to answer this question because I don't believe that I have the answers to it. I don't know that anybody really does. I think that we all need to be open to where the Spirit's leading and where we're being called to go. And I think that we need to not have a specific picture in our mind of what we're called to do, because then we won't be open to being adaptable to calls as they open up. That being said, as we seek to be forerunners of Christ's peace in 2022 and beyond, I think it goes without saying that the challenges and opportunities are momentous. We currently find ourselves nationally and internationally in a time of great conflict. Conflict in and of itself is not bad. What I mean by that is the conflict just indicates that there's something that's not working right in the current system. Now, how we respond to conflict determines its value. 7D must innovatively pursue pathways to peace that the world does not currently acknowledge. We must vocally oppose responses that continue to harm any aspect of God's creation. Now, there's a quote by Shane Claiborne, and if you've ever heard me speak before, you've probably heard this quote before. So I apologize if this is a repeat for you. But to me, I think that it does a really good job of summarizing who 7D need to be as peacemakers in our current time. So Shane Claiborne says, "True peace does not exist until there is justice, restoration, and forgiveness. Peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice, the act of disarming evil without destroying the evildoer, the act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressors free. 7D as peacemakers must find the third way that is neither fight nor flight. We must point with authentic hope to alternatives that promote justice, restoration, and forgiveness. We must help unleash a revolution of love that sets both the oppressed and the oppressors free. That's what we must be and do in 2022 and beyond. Now, as an extension of that, and as ministers of invitation, I believe we also need to take seriously the concept of beloved community. No one is outside of beloved community, no one. As Kazuhaga says in his book, Healing Resistance, building beloved community is not about loving the people who are easy to love. It's about cultivating love for those that are difficult to love. If we are not struggling to love people, if we are not trying to build understanding with those we disagree with, then we are not really doing the work of building beloved community. 7D and Community of Christ in 2022 and beyond are called to invite people to beloved community and also continue to do the hard work of building and sustaining that community.
So I'm hearing you talk about some pretty awesome things. Everyone should be a part of a beloved community, that there can be no justice without peace. And this, I actually haven't always heard 70s talk like this before. So I think this is really refreshing. In your past life, you were a social worker. Do you think that has helped you to shape your ministry as a 70, that education of being a social worker?
Definitely. I also think that I'm a former teacher. I used to teach fourth grade, and both of those past professions inform what I do every single day. So I definitely think that influences my ministry. And I was called to the office of 7D while I was in my grad program for social work. And so the learning, you know, the classes that you go through to become a 7D, I was taking those at the same time that I was also completing my graduate work.
So what specifically has kind of helped you from your social work and teaching professions, what do you think has really helped to shape that for you? Anything specific?
I don't know. That's a tricky question, but also a really good question. So first of all, in the social work code of ethics, when I was first deciding what I wanted to pursue graduate work in, I was reading the social work code of ethics and I was shocked because multiple ethical points within that were essentially just our enduring principles from Community of Christ articulated in another way. And one of those that stood out to me was worth of all persons. And that one was actually worded almost exactly the same. And so just that idea that all people are of inherent worth really resonates with me and has really stuck with me from my education and from just growing up in Community of Christ. And I think it's really easy to say that all people are of worth, but if we truly believe that, and if we truly want to show that we believe that, then our actions have to reflect that. And so for me as a 70, my ministry constantly has to be affirming that all people are of inestimable worth. I guess another thing from my social work education is just this trust of other people's experiences and kind of not needing to be in this world of dualistic thinking where it's like one way or the other, but understanding that things take shape in different way in people's lives. And just because I see something one way doesn't necessarily mean that that has been their experience of it. And so just that openness to hearing different experiences has really, I guess, left me more open to justice work as a result.
That sounds awesome. I figured that it had been a big help for you. In my past life, I was a teacher as well. And I feel like I've drawn a lot from being a minister, from being that teacher. Thank you for explaining that. I appreciate that. So you've been in DC now for how long?
As of July 3rd, 1 year. The first year I moved here, I watched the fireworks from my bedroom window. And on the 4th of July this year, I did the same thing. So I'm at my 1 year anniversary.
There you go. Okay. So you've been there for 1 year now. What are you doing in the DC area as a 70 that is different than what was done before?
Well, it's difficult to say exactly what we are doing now that is different from what has been done before. So instead, I'll share some of the things that we're doing now with full acknowledgement and respect of those that came before and laid the groundwork for what is happening now. So there are a few exciting things happening in Chesapeake Bay Mission Center. First, at the end of last summer, we began something called Mission Matters Most. And I don't know, I mean, maybe it's just because the church is so focused on mission, but you'll notice a couple of the things I talk about have mission in the title. So try to keep them separate. But this one started at the end of last summer and it's called Mission Matters Most. And it's a series that we hold each quarter. We focus on a different topic related to mission. We participate in 3 sessions to learn more about that topic and how to apply our knowledge to our context. So during session 1, we invite in like an expert on the topic and ask them to share with us about it and teach us about it. In session 2, we have a panel of practitioners, and we are just able to ask them any questions that we have about the topic and see what it's like in their context and what they've learned about that topic in their ministry. And then finally, in session 3, we brainstorm what it could look like in our ministry settings to take that knowledge and apply it in practical ways. So far, we've had a series all about ministry with Latter-day Seekers and another about new expressions of God's love. And beginning in August, we're going to explore discipleship and democracy and examine how we can engage politically as followers of Jesus. Quick note, because I'm a 70, anyone is invited to attend these sessions. You don't have to be part of the Chesapeake Bay Mission Center to do so. So if this is something that you're interested in, I'll be sure to leave my email at the end of this podcast, and you can just reach out to me if you'd like more information. Another thing that we've really been doing, which I think anybody, whether you're in a church space or not, this has probably been your experience during the pandemic, but we have various groups that are meeting in online spaces. So one of those groups with inspiration from the brilliant Nancy Ross and the well-loved podcast is a Harry Potter and the Sacred Text group. We currently have 2 groups running, one for adults and one for junior high. And we just read the books and discuss them in community. the junior high group isn't happening right now because it's summer, but if you know someone who's interested, again, let me know and I will make sure an owl gets to them. But another online space that we have is our monthly seekers gathering. And so when we say seekers, we're using that term fairly broadly. A lot of the folks that come to that maybe do have a background in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but we also have other groups represented as well. So these are just folks that are seeking and are looking for a spiritual home or a spiritual resting place. The first Tuesday of each month, we gather to discuss a variety of topics and share together in community. Initially, we were exploring Community of Christ basic beliefs, but we've finished those up and we've moved on to the enduring principles, paying particular attention to how these principles apply to current issues and experiences. And then finally, we have another online group that's meeting each Friday to discuss the weekly lectionary scripture and enjoy informal fellowship. We're also, I don't know if this is, it's definitely not the first time in DC, but I think it is the first time for the Washington DC congregation. We'll be hosting a Sunstone Symposium October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We don't have a lot of information on that just yet, but if you're interested in learning more, you can definitely email me and I'll keep you updated. And then finally, and I don't know if this is like picking your favorite children, so I shouldn't necessarily say that this is like the thing I'm most excited about, but we've started something called Mission at the Museum. And in this area, you know, we're really lucky to be surrounded by wonderful and free museums. And so we decided to capitalize on that by visiting these museums as a mission center. However, these aren't just, you know, fun group outings. Rather, we go to museums specifically looking for new insights on peace and justice. After a few hours at the museum, we regroup and discuss how what we've learned about peace and justice has implications for us as people of faith. So far, we visited the National Museum of the American Indian. And if you plan on taking a trip to DC, or even if you would just like to explore some of the museum's virtual options, we have the guides that we use during our trip available on our Mission Center website, which is cofchrist-cbnc.org. And we have an in-person guide up there, a virtual guide, and a kids guide available. Those resources can currently be accessed by clicking on the banner on the homepage, but they'll always be available on our Social Justice Ministries page of the website. And then this fall, as part of the Mission at the Museum, we plan to visit the National Museum of African American History and Culture. I just did this past week my initial scouting visit of this museum, and I'm really excited for that experience. And so if you're interested in participating, either in person or virtually, feel free to let me know.
Well, that all sounds incredibly fun and incredibly exciting. So I have questions about a lot of these, but since you just finished talking about Mission at the Museum, I know you've only visited once so far, right? Right. And so what was it like, you know, like what's it like going through a museum with like a specific idea in mind and then the conversation afterwards? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I'll say I've always liked museums. I've always enjoyed going. But I was so much more intentional when we approached it from this way. And because of that intentionality, I think I took a lot more away from the museum visit. And so it was just really interesting to see all of the different ways that peace and justice intersected with the various museum exhibits. So for example, there was an exhibit about like treaties in the past that settlers made with Native people. And it kind of talked about some of the unfair things that were done to Native people as part of those. And so, you know, there's peace and justice woven throughout that. And at the end of that exhibit, it talked about how we still have a lot of these treaties in place, but they aren't necessarily being honored. And it had from Standing Rock, the big signs that pointed to where all of the different tribes had come from. And so just seeing how the peace and justice implications from, you know, hundreds of years ago, a couple hundred years ago, are still impacting us today, really made it relevant and really brought the importance of that to light. So then after we kind of had some time to explore the museum, we came back and we just shared in some delicious snacks, some cookies, Oreo balls, super good. And we just had a conversation. Now we did have specific questions that we were kind of thinking of beforehand, but we also let the conversation lead where it would. And I'll say, you know, we didn't solve all of the world's problems. We didn't come away with the perfect solutions to all of the issues that we talked about, but it was so good to be able to have that conversation in a safe place where we could ask questions and where we could challenge ourselves to be better about following Jesus, the peaceful one.
I think that's so fascinating. I think it's so fascinating to think about going to a museum in a group, because I like museums, but I really don't remember anything about museums that I go through. Like I you know, exactly. I think they're cool and I like seeing things, but I don't let it change my life. And so I think the idea of allowing a museum like the ones you're talking about change your life is something that could be really powerful. And, you know, like, I feel like a lot of times church changes my life. Like maybe something that I hear in a sermon or maybe a song that I'm singing, it changes the way I feel, but I don't allow that to happen to me all the time. So I think it goes back for me to that intentionality and going through a museum, being intentional with a group of people and having that group of people keep you accountable. Cause you're like, ooh, I got to think of something smart to say.
Exactly.
I'm sure there are like a zillion museums in the DC area that you are planning on visiting, which is very, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really excited about it. Some of them, I mean, like the Museum of African American History and Culture could be at least three separate visits. There's so much there that we could talk about.
I can't even imagine, actually. So I want to go back also to Mission Matters Most. Is that right? That's the thing with three sessions. What a brilliant idea. I'm a little offended that I've never been asked to be an expert on anything. I'm an expert on a few things.
I'm a little offended that you don't remember that you were a panelist on that one time.
I remember I was a panelist. I have never been an expert.
I consider our panelists experts too, if it makes you feel
better. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, I'm not offended anymore. I'm an expert on very few things, but you know, so I really love the idea of learning about it, then learning from a group of people, and then having a chance to discuss it. I think that's very cool, especially when their next topic coming up, democracy, what was it? Something
discipleship in democracy.
Discipleship and democracy. Mm-hmm. Because there are times when I feel completely stuck and completely alone when it comes to matters of the federal government and what I should be doing in order to elicit the change that I think is necessary. And so A, talking about it with an expert, and B, talking about it with a group of people feels very good to me, because then I know there are people behind me and I know that I'm not alone doing this stuff. So I think it's really a cool idea.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one too. I mean, the other ones have been great, but I'm really excited about that too, because I think in Community of Christ, we don't talk about it often. But when I was growing up, I definitely remember conversations about being signal communities. And I feel like with where things are politically in our country right now, this is the time that we need to be signal communities to show that we can disagree and we can have conversations and we can still move forward and make progress in healthy ways that, again, affirm the worth of all people. And so I'm really excited to see how that session goes as well.
That'll be really, really great. I remember I did a podcast with Stephen Donahoe and he talked about how we should be writing to the newspaper, something I had never even thought of before. Cause he said, members of Congress, state and federal, definitely read the newspaper from their hometowns, which I had never thought about before. So I hope that comes up. I'm a little bit of an expert in that now too.
So Stephen Donahoe is going to be one of our panelists for the second session.
That he's amazing. I'm a big fan. If you're listening, Steve Donahoe, I'm a big fan. So this all sounds fantastic. It sounds like there's a lot of really cool things that are happening in the DC area. Are most of these things on Zoom?
So we always try to have some kind of virtual option for all of these. Obviously the museum visits are probably best experienced in person, but even those we do try to have a virtual option. The Mission Matters Most, those all do happen via Zoom. Sunstone, we haven't talked about yet, but that makes me want to have a Zoom option, definitely. It will be in person, though. And then the other groups that I mentioned do meet on Zoom exclusively, whereas some of those other things can happen either or.
Good to know. So just so we don't forget, why don't you tell us your email address right now, just in case people want to email for more information.
Okay. My email address is jowight at seaofchrist.org.
Awesome. Okay, I have another question for you. I want to kind of now branch those two things we've been talking about, you being a 70 and the ministry of the 70, and then all of these amazing things that are happening in DC. How do you see those ministries as related to what a 70 does? Like, there might be some people who are 70s out there who, again, well, we're like me, are kind of stuck on what to do. And so how do you see those ministries and the ministry of the 70 come together? Maybe give some other people some ideas of what they could be doing in their areas.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, the ministry of the 70 has to be very responsive to the context that it's in. And so I think that all of these things have really arisen out of conversations or needs that have happened here where I am in Chesapeake Bay Mission Center. And so I think the first thing is that they kind of overlap with my ministry as a 70, because I have to be open to where the Spirit is leading and what I specifically am being called to do in my area. With that kind of cop-out answer out of the way, because I know that that's not what anybody wants to hear, but 70 are also called to be forerunners of Christ's peace and ministers of invitation, as I said. And so I think that these various ministries I've talked about uphold those things very well. Specifically, though, I'm most excited about the opportunity they are providing for us to critically examine the things that are keeping us from fully following Jesus, the Peaceful One. As I mentioned with the mission at the museum, in safe and loving spaces, we're able to have really important conversations that challenge those unjust and less than peaceful mindsets and actions we consciously or not perpetuate. In challenging these things, we're hopefully being equipped and empowered to move more authentically to live out the love community. And so to me, these all of these things that we've talked about today are really taking both being a forerunner of Christ's peace and invitation and combining them, because we're creating spaces that we can invite people to. People don't have to, you know, be a certain way or feel a certain way in order to attend these things. So there's spaces where people can be invited, but then we're also addressing very real issues and things that we can't ignore any longer.
Yeah, I love that you have just said that, because it's very easy to think that we have all of the answers on our own, but I really do think that the grassroots level is probably the best way for us to go. And to start having those discussions as soon as we possibly can. If you are a 70 out there and you're wondering how to even get that started, that's the best way to get it started. And the ideas that come up may seem like nothing you want to do. Cause that has happened to me before. I've heard about some ideas. And I'm like, ugh, I didn't want to do that at all, but they do turn out to be wonderful because that's what people want. And so I agree with the grassroots idea and getting started just by having those conversations. I think that's super important. So I also appreciate, Joelle, how you are willing to kind of step out and what we call it here in Salt Lake is throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. And that have you tried some stuff too that just didn't work out at all?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. first of all, I'm a huge fan of pasta. So I'm all about throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing if it sticks. Yeah, there are things that haven't worked out, but I would also say that sometimes, even if it doesn't work out long-term, or if it's not something that sticks around and continues year after year after year, that doesn't necessarily make it a failure. It could have just been that thing that was needed in that moment, in that space of time. So for example, and this is not to say that we're never going to do this again, but last summer, with the pandemic and everything, kids weren't really able to go to camp, and the camps that we were trying to do were shortened, and it was just really hard to get things for kids specifically. And we had a seeker in the area who had a child and was asking about opportunities. And I was like, gosh, we got to have something. There has to be something that we can offer. And so we did an online kids peace camp, and we ended up having people from multiple parts of the United States. That didn't happen again this year. There wasn't necessarily time for it. There were actual, you know, in-person kids camps going on. And so we didn't do it again. It's not something that has become an annual thing. But I think that in the time that we did it, it was what was needed. And so we don't need to like regret that it's not continuing or, feel like we failed in some way. I think that we just need to continue to be responsive to the Spirit and be willing to let go of things that are no longer things that we need.
Oh, I'm really glad you said that whole let go thing. Cause I do think that there are things that we think like, you're like, oh my gosh, that was so good in my childhood 40 years ago. I bet that'd work again. Well, maybe it would and maybe it wouldn't, who knows, but it is important to have those conversations. And I really appreciate that example about how we should not feel bad or feel down if something doesn't work out. There's always something to be learned from whatever we're trying to do.
Definitely.
Well, Joelle, I have just loved this podcast. I really enjoyed hearing about all the cool ministries that are happening in DC. I enjoy hearing about what you think of when you think of the word 70, because you are definitely a young 70. I'm sure you're one of the youngest, if not the youngest 70 in the church. So it's good to hear from a young person, much younger than me, actually, about what you feel called to do and how you see your ministry as a 70. So, Joelle, before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to say to us?
So we've maybe already touched on this already today, but I think that I would just really encourage people to, number one, not be afraid of failure. And number two, to really allow yourself to think outside the box. Don't be constrained by the way things have always been done. I think that as we continue to follow God's call in the world, we're going to be surprised by the things that are ways of responding to God. And I think that it's a lot more energizing and exciting when we're able to do things in new ways and then realize just what they're doing to contribute to Christ's mission. So I would say, don't be afraid to fail and don't feel like you have to do things the way they've always been done, whether you're a 70 or not. When you're responding to God's call, I think that that's the best approach.
Even when you're a missionary.
Even when you're a missionary.
Thank you so much, Joelle. I've really appreciated talking with you. It's been pretty wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, I love talking with you too, Carla. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.